Searchers find Sparky Imussen's plane. Cessna loses a second Skycatcher prototype to a flight test crash. And Dassault Aviation has an upbeat message for analysts. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 20th, 2009. We're sorry to report that search crews in Montana have found the wreckage of a Cessna 180F believed to have been piloted by Sparky Imussen. The pilot did not survive the crash. The Great Falls Tribune reports crews found the wreckage at 9:45 a.m. local time yesterday morning, about 2.5 miles southeast of a small private-use airstrip at Canyon Ferry Lake near Townsend. Debbie Alke of the Montana Transportation Department Aeronautics Division commented, quote, "It's difficult to find the right words to convey the sense of loss the Montana aeronautics community will experience. Sparky Imussen was a colleague and a friend to so many. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and our gratitude to all who have helped us find him," unquote. Imussen had been missing since Tuesday afternoon. A rancher near Kimber Gulch in the Elkhorn Mountains reported seeing a white plane in the area of the crash, and that helped crews narrow their search. Imussen was an accomplished flight instructor and also the author of the Mountain Flying Bible and Flight Operations Handbook. Cessna spokesman Doug Oliver confirms that a BRS parachute was deployed yesterday to recover the sole remaining flying Cessna Skycatcher prototype from an irrecoverable flight condition. Although the pilot has yet to be identified, Oliver says it's not the same pilot who bailed out of the first prototype last year. Cessna told the Wichita Eagle the pilot was able to walk away from the plane, then was taken to a hospital as a precautionary measure and released. The accident occurred while the Skycatcher was undergoing a test regimen that was to include spin testing, though Cessna's Bob Stangerone added he wasn't certain whether the incident was a result of a spin. He did acknowledge that spin testing was, quote, "the last big thing we had," unquote, before releasing the Skycatcher to market. The production spec aircraft that crashed yesterday was equipped with a redesigned, larger vertical stabilizer, which came as a direct result of a September accident in which the first prototype's ballistic chute failed, but the pilot successfully bailed out and flew his own chute to a safe landing. Dassault Aviation Chairman and CEO Charles Edelston told financial analysts yesterday that while the company's business jet sales dropped almost in half last year, Dassault continues working to be positioned for an eventual upswing. Specifically, Edelston said net Falcon jet sales dropped from 212 in 2007 to 115 last year, with 72 deliveries. He said 90 deliveries are expected in 2009, although production will be reduced as market conditions demand. And, he said, quote, "there is no doubt that we are in the midst of a very challenging economic environment. However, Dassault has always taken a long-term view. We will continue our ongoing investments in customer support, as well as technology and innovation," unquote. Dassault Falcon president and CEO John Rosenvallen added the company is committed to the long-term growth of business aviation, despite recent caricatures of the industry. Quote, "growth is also vital to the economies that rely on business aviation for high-paying jobs in manufacturing, operations, and support. When they're combined, our industry is critical to the successful conduct of international commerce that will lead us out of today's difficult environment," unquote. A problem first noticed during a customer delivery flight last week led the FAA Wednesday to issue an airworthiness directive, grounding about 2,800 Canadian-built Bell helicopters until operators can search for improperly installed bearings on the co-pilot cyclic controls and replace the suspect parts if necessary. Transport Canada issued a similar directive on March 12th, which also applies only to helicopters produced in Canada. Bell told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram the company expects the FAA to narrow the number of machines impacted to less than 110 over the next few days. Up next on ANN, Pete Bunce reminds Congress of the contribution of business aviation. England will buy 3 Joint Strike Fighters, and Emirates has been flying A380s with empty seats. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 20th. I'm Paul Plack. General Aviation Manufacturers Association President Pete Bunce got to testify on NextGen to the House Aviation Subcommittee Wednesday, but seized the opportunity to remind lawmakers in his opening remarks of the power they wield for good and bad. Quote, "Our industry contributes over $150 billion to the U.S. economy each year and supports more than 1.2 million high-paying technical jobs," unquote. Moving back on topic, Bunce said NextGen will require more than just accelerating deployment of ADS-B. Quote, "Adequately staffing the Federal Aviation Administration's offices of aircraft certification and flight standards and incentivizing operators to equip with ADS-B technology are all important measures that would allow us to reap benefits from NextGen in the near to midterm," unquote. He encouraged Congress to get FAA reauthorization done and provide the agency the proper direction and tools to deploy NextGen. He suggested that if any climate change taxes or fees are collected through the aviation sector, they should be reinvested back into NextGen, which will allow the industry to dramatically reduce emissions. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin thanked Senators Pat Roberts and Sam Brownback, both Kansas Republicans, for writing to President Obama to outline the essential role of business aviation for citizens, companies, and the country as a whole. Quote, "We commend the senators for cutting through the overheated rhetoric and soundbites and highlighting the true importance of business aviation to the national interest," unquote. In their letter, the senators acknowledged, quote, "While we understand your intent may have been to chastise companies who made irresponsible decisions with taxpayer funds, we are concerned that your comments may be used to fan a flame of misconception regarding the use of general aviation," unquote. The letter pointed out that 86% of passengers on business aircraft are in fact not CEOs, but mid-level managers, sales reps, and technical employees. On his visit to Washington, D.C. Wednesday, British Defense Secretary John Hutton announced a decision to purchase 3 Joint Strike Fighter test aircraft, marking a significant milestone for the U.K.'s commitment to the program. The U.K. will get 3 short takeoff and vertical landing versions of the fighter, known in the States as the F-35B. U.K. military personnel will work alongside their U.S. counterparts in an initial operational test and evaluation program, including trials on board 2 new Royal Navy Queen Elizabeth-class aircraft carriers. Hutton calls the JSF important to his nation's future. Quote, "By purchasing 3 aircraft for testing, we will secure access to the development of the program. Working alongside their U.S. colleagues, our pilots will gain an unrivaled understanding of this awesome aircraft and its capabilities," unquote. The F-35 is intended to eventually replace a slew of fighter aircraft worldwide, including Lockheed F-16s and Boeing FA-18 Hornets. Emirates, Airbus's largest customer for the A380, announced on Wednesday that effective June 1st, it will replace 2 A380s operating on the Dubai-New York route with twin-engine Boeing 777-300ERs due to dwindling passenger numbers. The airline says the Super Jumbos, quote, "will be redeployed to the 3 times weekly Dubai-Toronto service and to one of the 2 daily Dubai-to-Bangkok services," unquote. The change results in 132 fewer seats available per daily flight operated by a 777 in place of an A380. Emirates Super Jumbos are outfitted with 489 seats divided into 3 classes. The airline says, quote, "this change in aircraft will not affect any other U.S. services, as the airline still plans to increase the Los Angeles and San Francisco services to a daily frequency beginning from May 1, 2009, unquote. Following revelations that its 4 A380s have suffered over 500 hours combined downtime due to manufacturing defects, Emirates says it plans to keep its remaining 54 orders for A380s on the books, and Airbus says it's doing everything possible to resolve the complaints. Still ahead, new FAA regional administrators are announced. IATA predicts big airline losses worldwide this year. And if you flew Delta through St. Louis, are you missing a laptop? You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 20th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. President Obama has yet to nominate an FAA administrator, but some other positions within the agency are being filled. It was announced yesterday that Joe Mineacci and Catherine Vernon have been named administrators for the Central Region and Northwest Mountain Region, respectively. Mineacci will take over the Central Region May 4th. He's best known as FAA's Deputy Assistant Administrator for Human Resource Management and Strategic Labor Relations. He got that appointment in May of 2005 and has become associated with the unraveling of the agency's relationship with air traffic controllers and the resulting imposed work terms after negotiations broke down. Vernon is currently the Director of Western Terminal Operations based in Seattle. She made news recently when she responded on behalf of the FAA to a February memo exposing questions about whether the Denver ARTCC was staffed with enough experienced controllers. The International Air Transport Association tracks the airline business all over the world. Its latest forecast is that 2009 will be uglier than first predicted. Bloomberg reports that in a briefing in Kuala Lumpur, IATA CEO Giovanni Bisignani said, quote, "Our last industry forecast made in December was for a $2.5 billion loss in 2009. This is now looking very optimistic, and next week we will issue a revised forecast," unquote. During last year's big oil price run-up, IATA says the 230 carriers it tracks posted 2008 losses of as much as $8 billion total. The big improvements forecast for 2009 were based on plunging fuel prices and drops of 3 and 5% in passenger and cargo traffic, respectively. Instead, IATA says its members saw passenger traffic drop 5.6% in January and cargo down 23%. Some airlines can't take advantage of falling fuel prices because they hedged 2009 supplies at high prices last year. Bisignani says a big problem in 2009 is, quote, "business class which will be empty," unquote, and that airlines will have to cut capacity at a faster pace. He believes some of the 40 airlines which have suspended operations over the past 12 months will not survive to return to service. And finally, if you're still not convinced you shouldn't put valuables in your check bags, this one's for you. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that 8 contract baggage handlers for Delta Airlines have stolen 900 items from checked bags at Lambert St. Louis International Airport over the past year. The valuables reportedly range from laptops and computer accessories to iPods to such low-end booty as cologne and cigarettes. Airport police said yesterday that formal charges have not been filed. None of the suspects have been named, but police and company officials did talk about other details. The workers allegedly opened bags before placing them on outbound flights and carried stolen items out in coats, fanny packs, or backpacks. Airport Police Chief Paul Mason says the workers were employed by Huntley USA, a St. Louis contractor hired by Delta. Richard Sporn, Huntley's CEO, announced all 8 have been fired, but he added, quote, "Unfortunately, we are not the first for something like this to happen. All we can do is learn from this and try to make sure it doesn't happen again," unquote. Mason says a special hotline has been set up for passengers who believe they've been victims of the thefts. If you can tell investigators what tunes were on your iPod or what directions were entered into your GPS, you might be able to get your stuff back. The hotline number is area code 314-890-1822. And you thought the charge for checking your first bag was highway robbery. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, lessons from Flight 1549, Part 4. We'll hear the story of the miracle on the Hudson as related by flight attendants Sheila Dale, Doreen Welsh, and Donna Dent. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.